The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus.
The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry, and we thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we continue in the amazing book of Isaiah with a message titled Sin and Snow. So you want to stay tuned for today's program. Also, if you have a Bible, we would encourage you to get your Bible ready and follow along with us in today's study. And for those of you that follow us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. But before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the study of Isaiah, that we may know your will for Israel, for the future, for the world, Lord, and for each of us here who've tuned in. We pray for your blessing upon this study, that we may know you better. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones. Again, a message titled Sin and Snow as we look at the book of Isaiah. And of course, before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another fantastic week.
Well, certainly fantastic for you, brother. I think your quiver is growing fuller and fuller.
Yes, yes. And what Nathan is referring to is our fifth grandchild is along the way. And our daughter just told us that she's pregnant. So we're going to have six, Lord willing, by this year, Nathan. Can you believe it?
Oh, man. Congratulations to you and your wife. That is spectacular.
Thank you so much, Nate. It's really it's a privilege to see our kids growing. And hey, not too soon. I think you're going to be right behind me, Nathan.
Oh, boy. My kids aren't even married yet. So it'll be a bit.
In case your children are tuned in, no pressure to them.
Yes, it should be a little bit. Yeah. No, my daughter graduates from nursing school this summer, but her boyfriend has got another year. And so, it's going to be a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep that in prayer. But Nathan, speaking of exciting things, individuals tune into our program every week. Some of them are new to the program. And some of them actually let us know that they are listening regularly. And we love those wonderful reports here and there. But maybe someone is new to the program. Might you be able to share with them how they can get connected with us and our resources and what we do for the ministry?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Chuck Donald, who's works with Missional Marketing. They do our Google AdWord campaign for the ministry. Brilliant guy. And he told me recently he's tuned quite into The Truth Will Set You Free. So thank you, Chuck. And for all of those who are tuned in, we are the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries, which is a Bible prophecy teaching ministry. And our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. Folks mostly know us through our television program, Christ in Prophecy, as well as our Christ in Prophecy radio program, which started this year, and a whole plethora of resources that you can connect with on our website at christinprophecy.org. You can sign up for our newsletter or social media and download our free Lamb Lion app. We want to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So check us out, christinprophecy.org.
Thank you so much, Nate. And also thank you for all those that tune in and listen to our program. It is encouraging to us. Nathan, speaking of encouragement, wow, the book of Isaiah is an amazing book. And we just basically started to uncover and unfold some amazing things in this book. So we're excited that people are going to be able to follow along with us in this amazing journey. And Nate, last week, as we were making our way, or actually in our last program, as we were making our way through the book of Isaiah, we stopped in verse 16, and we're going to be picking it up there. But again, for individuals that are not familiar with the prophets, we have minor prophets, Nathan, we have major prophets. And you mentioned to us the importance of recognizing that one prophet is not really better than the other. It's just that the books in length are different, the minor and major.
Right. And if you got to talk about the major of the majors, that's Isaiah. It's 66 chapters. He is the longest of the prophetic books in the Bible. He's 2,700 years ago. and his ministry was to the southern kingdom of Judah, warning Jerusalem, Israel, the Jewish people to come back to God and to give up their idols, to give up their spiritual idolatry, and have a right relationship with the Yahweh God. And so that's what Isaiah starts at. But as we get into it, we're going to see that Isaiah is just absolutely packed with prophecies, Old Testament, New Testament, and even future to us today.
Oh, and that is very exciting. Thank you for sharing that, Nathan. So yes, we're excited for this book. We want to encourage you all to get your Bibles ready and dive in with us as we continue in this verse-by-verse study through the book of Isaiah. Nate, will you be able to open us up there, reading for us verses 16 through 20 as we continue in the book of Isaiah?
All right, picking up verse 16, chapter 1. Isaiah says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken."
Whoa, Nathan, those are some powerful verses that, we often hear that verse quoted, "Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." And what a contrast we find right there, Nathan, with sin and snow.
Absolutely. It's some of these verses here are probably the most well-recited, well-remembered verses in the entire Bible. And here's what the Lord is calling us to do. Do good, shun evil. You know, what a message that fits in every time period, especially as we're living in a society increasingly that's calling evil good and good evil, because they don't read God's word and don't know what good is. Their understanding of justice is vengeance. And as they talk about fascism, they're really raising oppression. They don't defend the fatherless or the widow. They exploit them and they murder children in the womb. Brother, we are living in a society very, very much like Isaiah lived in 2,700 years ago. You know, it was wealthy, it was doing well politically, but morally it was totally debased and given up on God. That is an exact example of all of Western society today.
Oh, Nathan, and I mean, verses 16 and 17, we see that how we're called to a reversal, because we see the world today is totally in shambles. And Isaiah was calling the people to wash themselves and cleanse themselves and learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the oppressors. And these are things, Nathan, that I think calls out to our society today. Learn to do good, seek to do justice. Every time you look at the news or social media, everything seems to be negative and just the reality of what's happening around the world, because people are not learning or seeking justice or doing good, but quite the opposite. So what a message that applies for us today.
Well said, well said. You know, it's interesting too that even though as fallen as Israel is, God's holding out his hand and he's saying, "Come to me, I will cleanse you of your sin." And that outstretched hand of God is still outstretched to us today. He's still holding his hand out to us and saying, "Come back to me, come back to me. I will bless you if you come back to me. But if you are outside of my will, outside of my hand, you're not protected and you will be devoured by the sword." And we see that as society today is being devoured by schisms and isms and external threats and internal threats and financial ruin. I mean, we're outside of God's protective hand there, and he's calling us back into it. But brother, you know how people are, that it was sin will within us, that the sin nature desires to rebel against God, to do it things our own way. And unfortunately, we're not bright enough, even if we think we are, or smart enough or good enough to defend ourselves. We need God the Father that's why he's our Father. Fathers protect the children. We need God to protect us.
Nathan, that's a good point, and we cannot do this by ourselves. Here, God's grace is extended in verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1, because he's calling them for a reasoning together. Come now and let us reason together. And that's one of the things, Nathan, today that people, you know, they're not reasonable in certain areas. They're not willing to come and listen to wise counsel or biblical counsel. They think in their minds that they know all things. And yet the call of God is right there. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And what a wonderful invitation, right, Nate?
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. Come, let us reason together. In other words, God's saying, be reasonable. Your pride, your arrogance, and your sin is destroying you. You know, have a little moment of clarity. See the light. Understand your situation. Come back to me. Come back into the right relationship. Come back into my protection. And this is what God's going to be calling Israel to do for 66 chapters. You know, not to give it all away or people say, okay, I can skip the rest of these podcasts. No, the Isaiah is just, again, filled with information, especially prophecies about the future. But unfortunately, Israel stands as an example of what happens when we rebel against God and calamity falls. But God always keeps his promises and he will restore. And that's why I think Israel exists. God knew that the Jewish people, as he said many times in the Bible, were a stiff-necked people, a hard-hearted people, and they made the perfect example of God's covenant relationship with somebody, well, his relationship with his creation. He wants us back into a right relationship, but we're stiff-necked and as stubborn as any of the most stubborn Jewish people in the Old Testament.
Oh, Nathan, and also the way that the scriptures here declare the stain of sin, the stain of sorrow, because it says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Nathan, I don't know if you've ever gotten cut and you've had blood fall on your clothing. Nathan. And boy, Nathan, trying to get blood out of anything, especially that red scarlet color, you might as well throw that thing away, right?
Yeah, it's ruined. Blood stains are, you might as well throw your shirt out. Only the Lord can cleanse you. Not saying that the Lord is like some kind of wonderful detergent like Tide, but you know, is God a Tide Pod? No, per se. But you're right. Sin, just the tiniest little sin, will, like scarlet, will destroy, or little blood will mess up clothes and destroy them. Kind of similar. If like just a little bit of sewage got in your water, all of the water is tainted. So it doesn't matter if you're a big sinner. Or you, most people say, well, I'm good. I only sin a little bit. It doesn't matter. It's like sewage has been mixed with your water or blood on your white clothes. You are still defiled, and you need the cleansing that only God can provide.
Oh, what a great point. Again, for those of you that just tuned in, you're tuned into our 2-3 Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We're making our way through the book of Isaiah, and we are again speaking on a message titled Sin and Snow. Nathan, I mean, when I think again about the scarlet, the tinting and the staining of sin, much like blood does, it's an amazing thing. This week I've been working in the OR, surgical operating rooms, and oftentimes I have to go in there because we work on the anesthesia machines and the operating rooms, and oftentimes I'm called to go into these rooms just after they have finished a case. And when I walk in these rooms, Nathan, and I look at the remnant of the surgeries, just blood everywhere, stuff stained everywhere. But yet they have these individuals that come into these rooms and they do the cleaning. And Nathan, I don't know how they do it, but once they're done with those OR surgical operating rooms, I mean, they are as white as snow. It's just amazing what they use to get that cleaned. And it reminds me of what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, in how to remove sin from our lives. Nate, would you be able to take us there and read for us 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, in case someone doesn't have a Bible?
Sure. Boy, these OR cleaners are the unsung heroes of the hospitals.
Nathan, they really are. I personally don't have the stomach to do what they do. So when I walk into these OR rooms, I kind of turn right back out until they clean them.
There you go. You operate on the machines, not the people, right?
Absolutely. Well, Nathan, a few years ago, about 10 years ago, I started having a phobia with blood. I don't know what it is. Maybe I worked in the industry for so long, But literally, if I see too much blood, they have to scrape me off the floor because then I'll pass out.
Oh, man. I understand completely. All right. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10. We're taking a little side trip away from Isaiah 1 for a minute. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him, God, and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness and do not practice the truth, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, well, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Boy, Vic, that really reminds me of a number of years ago, I encountered a website called whosoever.org. It was run by a lesbian woman who believed that the verse, you know, whosoever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. That's all it required, that God was saying, okay, as long as you believe in me cerebrally, then you are saved. And wow, she's going to be one of those people who stand before the throne of God and God says, depart from me, I don't know you, because she hasn't read the full counsel of God. And yes, salvation is by God's grace through faith. But at the same time, we're supposed to give up our sins and give up our falseness, our rebellion again. You can't be in relationship with God if you're in rebellion with God. And her lifestyle, her pride, her arrogance against God puts her in that position where she's calling God a liar.
You know, Nathan, that one of the things that people don't like is when you call them sinners. They feel offended. How dare you call me a sinner? But the reality is that here the Bible likens that to your sins are like blood, in other words. In other words, they have to be cleansed. And the reality is, according to the word of God in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right, Nathan? And we all need to be cleansed. We all need to be forgiven. We all need to recognize that the only way for that to happen is through a relationship with Jesus Christ and believing in Christ and the resurrection and what he stands for. And just like some people think, Nathan, oh, I just go to church on Sunday and I'm good because I'm participating in going to church. But the Bible speaks about a personal relationship, right, Nate? A personal cleansing that needs to happen when people turn their lives over to the Lord and really start to follow him.
Right. There is an intellectual aspect to having faith in God. We don't have all the answers, so we have to step out in faith. Despite some of our doubts, we take that leap of faith, as it's called. But it's also a heart issue. If your heart isn't transformed, if your heart isn't repentant of your sins, then you know, you're saying you were never a sinner to begin with, then why would you need a savior? And I think that's what we're seeing in society. I remember when Donald Trump was running for office, was it back in 2020, he had said that, well, he didn't think he needed forgiveness or salvation. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, why would he? He's not that bad. Well, that is the cultural Christianity that we see today in this world that, you know, again, don't get offended, some people, you know, because Donald Trump isn't a god, you know, he isn't our Messiah, he's just a man. But he's a good example of, hey, we're doing good things, but we're not really good people, right? Because until Jesus Christ comes into our lives and forgives us our sins and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are, as Paul called, the old man, the fallen man that's always in conflict, that's always at war within us and in war against God. And so, I mean, I pray that Donald Trump has finally known Jesus Christ as a savior. It's moved from his head to his heart and he's truly repented. I pray for that, but man, that lie has got so many people ensnared to the fact, like that woman from whosoever.org, they're going to stand before the Lord one day and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Nathan, what a great word you're sharing, because there's countless people out there who think the same way. And the reality is, just like the nation of Israel, they have to come to a realization for themselves. No, you have sinned. You are a sinner. You've broken God's commandment. But as we look back at Isaiah chapter 18, we see God's grace, because there, not only does he say, although your sins are scarlet, God recognizes that. He says, they shall be made white as snow. And I also see grace in that verse, right, Nathan? Because it's God's grace as he extends his hand that he will make make all things white as snow. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to cleanse. He's willing to set aside all our rebellion against him. And he extends his hand out whoever wants to grab hold of that. So we find, Nathan, again, the grace of God. It kind of reminds me of the American flag as we were talking about sin as snow. We find in the American flag those colors, the red, the white, and the blue. And I believe the red should remind us of our sins. The white is God's grace that he's willing to forgive. And the blue reminds us of God's mercy upon our nation and upon us, Nathan. So there's so much there that God is constantly extending his hand out to his people, saying, come to me, I love you, and I have a plan for you.
Good point. You know, when I, growing up, if you went to one of those churches that had the Christian flag has the colors of the American flag. But like you said, whereas the symbolism isn't there in the American flag, in the Christian flag, the colors do represent those things. The red does stand for the blood of Christ. And there, each of those components are meant to remind us of the salvation message.
Nathan, and what a wonderful extension of God's grace that is. Because as we continue Isaiah, we also notice that God will deal with sin. And we notice that as we look at verses 24 there, 21 through 23, going back to Isaiah, it says, how the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. And it goes on to say in verse 22, your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water, your princes are rebellion and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and followers after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. And Nathan, this is a nation that was the nation of God, God's people. And we read this and it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, if we don't stay close to God, we're going to degenerate quickly. I mean, we've seen it in our own lifetimes. You know, Vic, we've been around long enough. Not that America was always the epitome of morality, but at least in its Judeo-Christian foundations, it looked to God and God we trust. But as we see America divorce itself from God, we're become, you know, as you read verses 21 through 23 there, I'm like, hey, that's America. It's awful. Just watch the news. Everyone loves bribes. You know, they follow after their own rewards. Their princes are rebellious. You know, our silvers become useless. Brother, that's any society that turns its back on God will start facing that condition and very quickly.
You're right, Nathan, because we look at the slippery slide in verse 21, how faithful it says the city has become, faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. In other words, at one point, it was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it. But boy, Nathan, you're right. In the few hundred years that we've been a nation, now we see the past 75 or maybe 100 year, we slid far from where when we first started.
Absolutely. It's truly tragic. But, you know, a lot of people that too. We start out as babies and kids and you know, we listen to our conscience and our parents guide us and we do right. But, you know, as we start getting older and more rebellious, we fall into sin. And then to some people, by the time they're adults, they're completely useless. They're totally immoral. And so while we can look at a nation in this light, we can look at individuals as well. And that's why, Vic, I always end often with sharing the gospel message. But brother, how about you share the gospel message this time?
Oh, Nathan, I would appreciate that, especially with such amazing verses that have been put here before us, like verse 18, come now, let us reason together. So we call out to you right now in reason to understand what the Bible has to say about sin, how God is going to deal with sin, but also how God extends his loving hands of righteousness, of grace to anyone who's willing to take his hand. And maybe you've considered your relationship with God today. Maybe you listen to our program and you recognize that you need a change in your life, but you're willing to lay down your sin and turn to God. Well, we want to say to you, congratulations, you've come to the right place and that right moment of your life. Because the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And we first have to recognize that we've sinned, that we've broken God's commandment, but then we need to be willing to repent and turn away from those sins and turn to God. And we want to invite you to do just that right now with a very simple prayer that I'm going to lead you to pray. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart, by faith, God will transform and change you from the inside out. A very simple prayer such as this, calling on the name of the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. But God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Nathan, yeah, that simple prayer, anyone that prayed that prayer and prayed it from their hearts and they meant it, the Bible says the Holy Spirit moves positions from being with someone to being inside of someone, and they can experience that transformation. And if that's you and you pray to receive the Lord, Nathan and I would love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us by calling or texting 305-992-9537. Or you can email Nathan at webminister@lamblion.com. And we would love to give you a Bible and some resources so that you may grow in your relationship with the Lord. And we want to congratulate you on that. And Nathan, that's why we get excited, right? Because in every message, there's an opportunity to come to know God.
Absolutely. Your sins are like scarlet, but they shall be as white as snow. If you accepted Jesus as your Savior, they are now as white as snow.
Praise the Lord. And again, congratulations for that. And we also want to thank you for being part of our program today. Of course, we ran out of time for this segment of our program, Making It Through the Book of Isaiah. But we want to encourage you, stay tuned for our upcoming programs, and I think they will bless you as well. So we want to thank you for being part of today's program. I'm Vic Batista and Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful week.
The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.